for you. I don't know about you, but I love it when I receive an invitation of any kind. You know, when something comes through the post and it's like, you know, it's like a wedding invitation and it's something very special. And not only that, I love it when I receive an invitation which is, which, you know, it gives me a bit of responsibility and calls me to something greater. So I remember being invited to go to work with Youth for Christ when I first went to work with them, just after I finished university, and it was something that was a great privilege but also a little bit scary, but it was a great responsibility and it was something that completely changed my life. And I was thinking this week that there is an invitation to us. It, like living in the light of the resurrection of Jesus, there is an invitation for us this morning. And I wanted to talk about what Jesus is inviting us into. The first invitation that Jesus gives us is an invitation to eternal life. In the light of the resurrection, he is inviting you and me into eternal life with him. Last week, I talked about how Jesus died on the cross. And when he died on the cross, that he paid for all the wrong things that we have done. And he dealt with sin and death, and he made a way, and he bridged the gap so that we could get from our sin and shame to God, that we could be connected up, that we could be friends with God, and that we could know him, and he could lead our life, and he could be king of our lives. And I hardly even touched on the fact that also means that we have eternal life in Jesus, and that he is offering that. On Good Friday, we remembered that Jesus died for us, for all the things that we've done wrong. But today, on Easter Sunday, we remember that he overcame death, and that he rose. And because he rose, if we are in him, if we have accepted Jesus, then we too can rise with him. Now, I've got a little illustration for you. So if you can imagine that this sheet represents sin and death for us, and this represents Jesus. Now, Brendan's going to come and help me because I haven't got enough hands. And so if this represents sin and death, and this needle, hopefully you can see it, represents Jesus. And when Jesus died, he was the perfect sacrifice. And it was like sin and death kind of overcame him. Just let me go for one second. And it overcame him, and he was separated from God in that moment. But the great news is, on Easter Sunday, you can hold it again, he broke through sin and death, and he came through victorious, and he broke through this barrier of sin and death, and he came through. And the good news is for us, if you imagine that you are the red thread, if you are in Christ, then it means that when we die, that won't be the end, that we will come through to everlasting life with God. It's a brilliant illustration. Thank you, Brendan. And so Jesus said to Martha, when her brother was dead, Lazarus, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they may die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" He said that to Martha. "I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this?" And I believe that he's asking us today is, do you believe this? And if you don't know Jesus, I want to encourage you that you can know him. You can know him as your Saviour and Lord, and you can know that eternal life in him. You just need to call on the name of Jesus and repent and say sorry for the things you've done and turn around and follow Jesus with your life and start the most amazing adventure. And that eternal life even starts now, that resurrection life in us. I don't know if you've ever read the books, the Narnia Chronicles, but in the last battle, there's a beautiful bit towards the end of it. And the unicorn all the way through, he is like, you know, wandering, you know, he's kind of wandering through this life. And he says, "I've come home at last," when he comes to heaven. "This is my real country. I belong here. This is the land I have been looking for all my life, though I never knew it till now. Come up and further in." And there is this adventure in heaven. And C.S. Lewis, he writes so beautifully, but he writes, I think it's here on the screen for you, And as he spoke, and it's talking about Aslan, who represents Jesus, he no longer looked to them like a lion, but the things that began to happen after that were so great and beautiful that I cannot write them. And for us, this is the end of all stories, and we can most truly say that they all lived happily ever after. But for them, it was only the beginning of the real story. All their life in this world and all their adventures in Narnia had only been the cover and the title page. Now at last they were beginning chapter one of the great story, which no one on earth has ever read, which goes on forever and ever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. I know that right, the text on the screen is quite small, but this life is just the cover story. And there is so much more to come in heaven. When we die, there is hope. And I don't know about you, but in the last month, the reality of death has seemed so much nearer than I normally care to think about. And it's, 100% of us are going to die. And so 100% of us need to think about the question about what does happen when we die. And for Christians, we have the hope of Jesus. In Hebrews, it talks about, I can't find my verse where it says in Hebrews, we'll find it in a second. Okay, he too shared their humanity so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives have been held in slavery by the fear of death. I need to get my teeth in this morning. Jesus shared our humanity and his death and also him overcoming death. He broke the power of death for us, and so we no longer need to live in that fear. I don't know about you, but I've had to battle that fear a little bit over the last month or so. But I just keep coming back to Jesus and being reminded of his goodness and what he did for us. There's an invitation this Easter, an invitation for us for eternal life. And Ecclesiastes said that God has put eternity in the human heart. If you think about the things of eternal life, if you think about those things in your life, it's because God has placed that in you. He's put eternity in your heart, and Jesus has made a way for you to experience that eternity. So there is an invitation for eternal life, but there is also an invitation for peace. In Hebrews 13, it says, "Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with every good thing, everything good for doing his will, and that he may work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom he will glory forever and ever. Amen." Jesus says that he'll give us everything that we need. The good news is that not just Jesus overcame death, but in doing that, he gives us his resurrection power that we can be changed from the inside out. He can work in us and free us up from the chains that have been holding us so that we can live a life full of peace. And when he's talking about that peace, he's not talking about peace and quiet. And he's not talking about just having a bit of a peaceful time. He's talking about a shalom. He's used the word shalom, a wholeness, a healing that can come within us. Jesus gave this really beautiful invitation. He said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." In some versions it says, "weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." I don't know about you, but even before all of this happened, I recognize a world that is desperate for peace. It may not know that it needs peace, but it definitely needs it. Our world is worn out. Individuals are worn out with the relentless pressure to succeed and to keep up. We have cities that never sleep. We have shops that rarely shut. We have social media with a never-ending feed, and we have 24/7 entertainment. The world is frantic, and nature is groaning. We see that in the environment. And now, with all that's happening in the world, we don't have all the answers. Science doesn't have all the answers. We don't know what's going to happen, and we don't know what's going on. But in the midst of it all, there is an invitation to know the God of peace. And he is inviting us to draw close to him at this time and to know the Prince of Peace in the middle of the storm. And because he rose again on Easter, we can know that peace. We can know that he is the one that overcomes even death. I found the words of Jesus so comforting at this time. In Matthew 6, verse 34, it says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." I've had to come back to the words of Jesus continually over the last few weeks and remind myself of his truth. And suddenly, his ancient wisdom seems like that is so relevant. It speaks to us through the years and into today. You know, we are being told, I don't know about you, but I can't think about how long we might be in lockdown. I've just got to take one day at a time. And I can't necessarily think about what the economy or what society is going to look like after this. I just need to take one day at a time. And that's what psychologists tell us to do. They tell us, take one day at a time, do one thing, be grateful for what you've got. And do you know what? That's what Jesus said. That's what the Bible tells us to do, is not worry about tomorrow, but live one day at a time, trusting him, knowing that we have the God of peace who cares for us, and take one day at a time, be grateful for what we have. And he goes on to say, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes?" How true is that? At this time when we see people losing their lives, I've been really thinking, what is important in life? And I know many of you watching will be reassessing what is important in our life right now. And to know him, know peace, that sometimes will waver, but knowing him in the midst of it to come, it's not like just sticking our head in the sand and not recognizing what's going on. But it's having that wholeness that Jesus can change us from the inside out, and that we can keep coming back to him every day, because it's a knowing Jesus is about a relationship, it's about friendship, it's about coming to him every day, sharing our heart with him, sharing our worries with him, and letting him share his truth with us. And you know, the peace that I think we so desperately need is that Jesus can bring real contentment. And I just want to say this, and I'm sorry like if I offend any of you, but David will be back next week, so you can talk to him about it. But I just want to say, we use this verse, Philippians 4, verse 13, "I can do everything through him who gives me strength." We say that, and I've used that verse to talk about how God can help me in all circumstances, and he can. He can give us strength. He gives me strength when I have to stand in front of people and talk, and when I have to go into scary situations. But actually, that verse is in a book called Philippians, where Paul is in prison. And he is writing to that church. And he says something so beautiful. And this verse is put in the context of contentment. He says, "For I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." Isn't that what our world is looking for now? They may not know it, but it's desperately what it needs, is that contentment, is that peace. You know, our society is set up to make us dissatisfied. You know, that is what, you know, consumerism is based on. I don't know if you knew this, I'm just going to read this quote. But after the war in America, they decided to build, you know, they wanted to rebuild the economy. And one Wall Street banker, I think this quote is here, said, "People must be trained to desire, to want new things, even before the old have been entirely consumed. We must shape a new mentality. Men's desires must overshadow his needs." And I think that in many ways we have been brainwashed by our society. It's never good enough. And but Jesus can set us free from that. We're surrounded by advertising which says that we're never going to be good enough. We need this to make us good enough. We need that. And we're never going to have enough money. But Jesus, in his resurrection life, can bring us peace. He has overcome the world and its systems, including our system. And he shows us what it is to really, really live and live life in all of its fullness. You know, Jesus doesn't talk about living a life of comfort and wealth and of power, but the real goal of a disciple is to a life laid down, just like his. He laid his life down on the cross, and he says, you know, lay your life down, die to yourself and the things that you want in order to become more like me. If God gives us wealth, it isn't for us. It's for how can we use it for his kingdom and how can we be generous in the way we live. If he gives us a position of influence, it's not for us to have power, but it's how can we use that position for his glory. If God gives us gifts, it's not for ourselves, but it's how can we use those gifts for him. And that leads me to my final invitation today. Jesus invites us into eternal life. He invites us into peace. And finally, and there are so many other things he invites us into, but today we're going to say he invites us to live for something more. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14 to 15, it says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." His love compels us so that we don't live for ourselves. We can live for him, which is amazing. And we can live for so much more. We don't talk about living in the light of eternity very much in church anymore. I don't know whether that is, but why that is. But in the way we live, we need to live with eternity in sight, that we're living for heaven. We don't store up in barns or just want to make a name for ourselves. I've been reading Ecclesiastes this week, which is, you can blame Ecclesiastes for me sharing this week, but Solomon, who writes Ecclesiastes, he has such wisdom, and he says, everything is meaningless. He says, in this world, apart from God, everything's meaningless. Getting knowledge is like chasing after the wind. Experience after experience is never-ending folly. It's never enough. Running after pleasure was empty. Project after project would never satisfy. Work is never completed. Riches are never enough. I mean, literally, this could have been written today, couldn't it? Because, brothers and sisters, you're never going to get to the end of Netflix. And your work is never going to be done. There's always going to be something to do in the house. And there's always going to be a better position for you to get. And you're never going to have enough knowledge. And your education might seem like it's never enough. And money is not going to satisfy. You will never be traveled enough. Pleasure will never fully satisfy you. It will satisfy you in the moment, but it won't satisfy you long term. It just won't be enough. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't have stuff or that you shouldn't work or that you shouldn't have any pleasure in life. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is there is so much more than this. And that Jesus is inviting you to live for something more. In Jesus' love and his death and his resurrection, they can compel us. His love, it's out of his love that we want to live, not just for ourselves. This week I was sharing with the youth about an acorn. Now, an acorn, if I went around to a forest and saw an acorn and it just looked pretty, I think there's a picture of one coming up on the screen, it could just look pretty and I could pin it on my mantelpiece and I could say, you know, lovely, lovely, lovely acorn, that's nice. But for that acorn to be really released into its life, it needs to be buried in the ground and die, and then it produces life. It begins to grow into a tree, which then produces more acorns, which can produce more trees, that can produce a forest. And if we give our lives to Jesus and die to ourselves and follow him, God can produce so much more with my and your life because of his resurrection power in us when we give our all to him. Maybe we're going to inspire the next generation to follow him. Maybe you're going to introduce people to Jesus. Maybe you're going to see the oppressed set free or feed the poor in Jesus' name. But I know there's so much more for us than just a life of comfort and just doing what we want. We can live for something so much more. At the start of the year, I was walking on the beach with a young couple, and he's from a country which is known for persecuting Christians, and she's from this country, and she's given her life to share Jesus in that country. And as I walked along the beach, they just got married, they've got their future ahead of them. I was so inspired by them. I was so inspired by their peace in the midst of the unknown, and it's even more unknown in this current circumstance and what they're doing. I was so inspired by their faith in God, that they knew that God was going to take care of them. And also the boldness in them, that even though they're doing risky things in sharing the gospel with people and going to places that you and I probably wouldn't always want to go to, they're living bravely for the kingdom of God. And I was inspired by their peace in the midst of the storm of life. And I was inspired by their adventure. And it made me think, God, what can you do with my life if I could be a little bit more brave and a little bit more kind to other people? And if I just stepped out a little bit more and lived in that adventure? And I wonder what God is calling you to step out for him today. So today he's inviting you. He's inviting you to eternal life in him. He's inviting you to a life of peace, that you can know him from the inside out, that he can change you from the inside out so you can know his contentment. And he's leading you to a life that can count for something more. And I just want us to reflect on that just for a moment. And I'm just going to pray. And if you don't know Jesus today, I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray a prayer to give your life to Jesus, because he's inviting you. He's inviting you into his eternal life, and that can start today in Jesus. So maybe just pray with me. I'll pray slowly and you can repeat after me as we pray. Lord, I thank you for your love. I thank you that you love me. I thank you for sending Jesus into this world. I thank you that you showed us the love of God in Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. And today I say sorry for all the wrong things I've done. And Lord, I turn to you and I ask you to be king of my life. Fill me with your love. Fill me with your peace. Fill me with your resurrection life. And help me to live for something more. In Jesus' name. And if you prayed that prayer, you know someone who's a Christian, get in touch with them. Ask them more about it, because they want to help you on the journey. Or if you don't know anyone, you're on YouTube, just write in the comments. Somebody will tell you more about Jesus and give you some contact. It's the best decision that I ever made, was to give my life to Jesus and accept his invitation. And he wants to invite you today. And Hope Church, those of us who know God's love, I just want you to consider today what I've said. He wants to give us more peace, more contentment. He wants to change us from the inside out. And he wants us to live for more. And it's an invitation. It's an invitation, not just to a party, but an invitation to something greater, to live our lives for something greater than we've been doing. So Lord, I pray that you will help us to live our lives for you. And Lord, I pray for everybody listening today. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Fill them with your resurrection power this morning. And help them to shine brightly for you. In Jesus' name.